Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We've got live music later in the hour with Burlap Wolf King, but we kick off the program today with South Dakota's Lieutenant Governor Matt Michaels. He is with us live via phone from Pier. Lieutenant Governor, welcome to In the Moment.
Well, we can just skip over me. I love listening to Burlap Wolf King, Lori, but Happy New Year. I really like their August rain, so hopefully he'll play a little for you that.
He's sitting here in the studio listening to you, so if he pitches in with a question here, we're all going to be good.
Yeah, well, I know nothing about music because I was just a simple time drummer, but I love his beat.
I'll just step out and let the two of you have some fun.
Yeah, well, you know, the question that you're going to have to ask, and I'll listen after I sign off, is where did Burlap Wolf King come from?
All right, so, we'll ask that first. We'll kick off with a question from Lieutenant Governor Matt Michaels, all right?
Happy New Year to you. I think about you a great deal because of our dealings with South Korea and your experience there, and military background. Also, I really have prayed and worked hard myself over the last few years to try to be in the moment. And so when I knew you were refreshing to this phrase, I said, I have to be in the moment. That's a really great name.
Thank you for that, sir. We really appreciate it. And we appreciate you helping us with this first week of shows by agreeing to come on and talk. It's always a pleasure to have you as a guest as well. So let's talk about next week coming up for a new session. What is your role sort of this week as you get ready for the new lawmakers to come in? I'm seeing some bills are already on the table and written. Give me an idea of what your week looks like and your weekend maybe looks like this weekend.
Well, you know, it's very similar to my analogy always is school, because all of us are or have been in school, that you get ready for everyone to show up. And if you are part of the administration of school, there's a number of things you need to do. Get the building ready, and our buildings and grounds crew for the Capitol are some of the best in the state. It's highly technical work. It's a complex building, and we're bringing so many people to their state capital that they throw a lot of resources at it, and we're really blessed by their service, keeping it all polished up. Mm. The next component is really, you know, what do we have in terms of the plans and what we're working on, and we already gave some of the reading assignments to keep that analogy going, which was our budget address. And we work on that starting in the summer for the following year, and you've covered that very well. And, of course, that's really the main thing a legislature does, is deal with the people's trust of money and allocate it to the appropriate services. And so the fun part about this, like the first day of school, the first week of school, is there are so many new people that come in. I really enjoy public service because of all the new people you meet, old friends, people that have become friends, dedicating to make our state better. And so you're there for one common reason, regardless of party background or geography, experiences, education, and self-governance is truly a gift from above, but we get to live it, and then the public shows up. So you essentially have parent-teacher conferences, and then I'm beating this metaphor to death. So.
It works for me, though. And the geography, too, I noticed. We talked with a variety of new lawmakers that are headed to Pier for the first time, and boy, I learned stuff about towns in South Dakota that I didn't know anything about yet. Really interesting, different backgrounds from, the more urban Sioux Falls to, you know, Isabel or somewhere like that. How do you sort of help all those people get to know each other, get their feet under them so they can get off on the right foot and get the work done that they need to do and sort of, you know, get along with people from some really very different backgrounds?
Well, first of all, people who run for public service, I think this would be people would squint when I would say this, but they're good listeners. They've been out. They put themselves on the line. I've improved my listening skills. I need to be better, but I learned that running for office that some people wanted to hear my views, but really wanted to be heard out, understood, and educate you on their views. And frankly, I think that that's what's so exciting about a new group, regardless of age and their backgrounds. because they're all coming there with a single purpose of serving. And then it changes. The dynamic changes by virtue of getting more information, education. You get older, and you're meeting people from different areas of the state that you just didn't have that experience. And you start building a trust level based on their capabilities and individuals. There's a tremendous amount of euphoria the first week because we start out with the state of the state after everyone's been sworn in. And I always described it when I was speaker and now I'm president of the Senate, that this is a family day. You come in, your family is part of it. I could never have been in public service if my wife and son had said, no, you're not going to be away from us for this long or run for office or take those calls from people who might be upset. Or stopped in the grocery store. So it's really a team effort. So the family should be there, and it's really the beautiful excitement when you walk into that Capitol. And to this day, I'm in awe when I'm walking in there because of being given this privilege. And then we have the next day, our judiciary presentation by our Chief Justice. That's a big deal, talking about our separation of powers. In a lot of places you and I have lived, there isn't a separate judiciary. It's appointed by a dictator or someone, and their systems are so different. There's no separate judiciary in China, and this is separate. And the Chief Justice stands up there. He's a person, but he's a member filling out a constitutional responsibility to have an impartial jurist in jury system and a Supreme Court that is very efficient. And he talks about the issues of the day, which are pretty big for all of us. From the governor, we're talking about dealing with people with chemical dependency issues and what we can do to do better in that area and how does that affect our court systems and our rule of law. And then on Thursday, I'm very excited to have now, as custom, and I think it's institutionalized in the legislature, the State of the Tribes. And right. There will be the presentation from President, and I think it's Harold Frazier, I'm blanking on that, but coming and talking about the interrelationship of our families, regardless of backgrounds, what the issues are that the reservations have, but more importantly, our tribal members, who are obviously our citizens, too, and that really has come a long way. The governor established the tribal relations secretary post. I have responsibility for that area. Secretary Steve Emery is very good at that and working through a myriad of issues that we have with that aspect of our state. So then everybody will be rocking and rolling. The committees all start and the orientation, and then all the assignments start because the tests roll in pretty fast about next semester.
Right. It's a big week and it just
okay, gets... I'll be done with that metaphor.
And so, yeah, you mentioned people's trust and really taking that seriously. And obviously, that's one of the big issues this year with initiated Measure 22 and the injunction and challenges to its constitutionality. But certainly a mandate or, I guess, a voice from voters talking about ethics. And I know that's something that's important to you. And so I thought I'd ask you to sort of weigh in on ethics in state government and what we might see come out of PEER that would address the voter intent of initiated Measure 22, at least.
I am so happy that you asked the question because most of the people I've talked with who are normal, they're not weird like me that follow or involved in these things, were very, very confused by that and how come I couldn't read it and those type of things. And so you're really voting based on a perception or, candidly, a television ad. And I'm not going to pass judgment on what people thought or didn't think. What I do believe is incredibly important, having been a federal prosecutor, being in public office, being a legislator, you were trained up in the military about the rule of ethics and the openness and things that you can and cannot do. And we do have a very good body of law that already exists. For example, we have in our Constitution, it's the only crime, and it was because of the history of what was going on before we became a state. which was very corrupt. There was a lot of federal corruption going on as we were before we became a state, because the feds were running the whole show. And it happened in my hometown in Yankton and places in Pierre. And so the people that put the Constitution together said there is one crime in this Constitution before the legislature gets together, and that's bribery. Bribing any public official is a crime, and it's that important. And so we've always had that. There are various people around the state who said that we've had a lot of convictions for various things because of media outlets out east that say there's a high level of corruption. What they don't tell you is that those are based on federal convictions, not state convictions. Those are federal court convictions of the individuals who are involved in federal governments or tribal government arrangements, those type of things. So we need to be critical thinkers. However, we, the governor and I, strongly believe and have supported openness in government. Again, I prosecuted it. There's a lot of things online that you can get now that you weren't able to get before, like follow each piece of legislation. We're one of those rare states. Any bill that's introduced, any bill has to have a hearing. As I was speaker, if I didn't like the bill that Lori introduced, it didn't matter. It has to have a hearing, and it cannot get lost. That's unique in our nation. The second thing is that we broadcast everything through your help and South Dakota Public Broadcasting Infrastructure so people can listen and shoot us emails and those type of things. Three, everyone's background is known. You have to file information about who your employer is. You may be a teacher. You may be doctor like Dr. Kurd, whatever. But you're telling people what it is that you do, and that also the state's website, what kind of financial information out there that maybe your spouse, that he owns a building or has this other kind of business. So it's very open that way, and we have to continue that. At the same time, there needs to be a mechanism for investigating complaints, and that will be part of the great conversation about how that happens so that it's legitimate and not what you see in a number of other states, just witch hunts that have really no basis in fact. And a lot of those type of commissions that have been foisted upon us by individuals from out of state aren't recognizing and not attributing the fact that we know a lot of people, we know each other, we understand these things, and the issues relative to, for example, an EB-5 or the Platt situation has nothing to do with the ethics of your legislature and the people you are electing. But we do need to take to heart that people distrust government, and I think it's a healthy distrust. But also, let's be critical thinkers and listen and ask questions. I'm always willing to talk about this because I'll say, you know, our legislators are citizens. And, you know, we have a lot of legislators who have retired who are on the South Dakota retirement system. I'm not in the retirement system, but I've worked on it for a long time. I've voted on it. We've got legislation coming up. That legislation or the initiated measure confused that sort of issue of whether or not people voting on that have a conflict of interest. Well, that's a pretty different question from our experiences than getting people who are dedicated, honest, interested, knowledgeable, and working in areas that really can help us. So we shouldn't have any rancher or farmer voting on legislation that affects the Department of Agriculture, that increases through the Department of Ag money for marketing of crops and access to markets for our commodities. I think the people of South Dakota have seen through that, and that we're going to have a lot of good discussion. I think very good things that will come out of it through our legislative process.
Are there things in Initiative Measure 22 that you think are really worth saving and worth looking at?
Not in actual words. I think that there's so much unconstitutionality in there. Okay. And I think, by the way, too, Lori, it was noted they submitted it to the independent lawyer for the legislature, and had this huge red mark up about things that were unconstitutional, and the sponsors of it never made any of those changes. Mm-hmm. So I think just I'm going to go off that tangent and say one of the really good things is that it's resulted in individuals coming up with other ideas that we're going to debate during the legislative session on how we can improve this process for the people to understand what they're voting on and have more openness there. Heck, you don't even know who got all of that money sponsoring those initiated measures. Who received all of that money? It wasn't advertisers. There were individuals who were paid to do that. I think I'd like to know that. I think people should know it. They know who's donated to Dennis Dugard and Matt Michaels. You should know who's advocating individually, who's receiving that. Now, what I will say is that there are already good conflict of interest and disclosure pieces, and how you investigate ethics complaints. The legislature has done that before. We have various ways to do that in current law, but I think that aspect is going to get the most attention for when you receive complaints.
If you're just tuning in, South Dakota Public Broadcasting Radio, I'm Lori Walsh. This is In the Moment. Our guest is Lieutenant Governor Matt Michaels. Lieutenant Governor, I'm wondering, we really wanted to talk about Spearfish Canyon State Park with you because we got some calls about that. I'm wondering if you would stick with us for a few minutes, if we could take a quick break and come back. Do you have an extra 5 or 10 minutes?
You can.
Excellent.
I love it, Lori. I just don't want to step on Burlap Wolfgang's time.
No, we have room for him. We're just going to rearrange a little bit and ask you to stick around. We'll take a quick break. You're listening to In the Moment. Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. My guest today is Lieutenant Governor Matt Michaels, and in a little bit, we're going to have live music here in our studios at the University of Sioux Falls. That's from Burlap Wolfgang. But first, welcome back, Lieutenant Governor Matt Michaels. Thanks for sticking around with us for a few more minutes. Do I still have you on the phone, Lieutenant Governor?
Yes. Are you able to hear me?
Yep, I can hear you now. Let's go ahead and get to Spearfish Canyon State Park, land exchange, progress on that. Talked with U.S. Representative Kristi Noem the other day, and she's had some things were on hold for as far as congressional legislation. And I'm just wondering if you could give us an update on where that process is at in the state.
Well, I think more, before I give you that, I'll answer the question directly. We do have funds that the governor's proposed to get this going in the budget for next year, and that information was discussed in his budget address. It's been a multi-year approach working with our congressional delegation, the individuals locally there, to swap some land so that this can be preserved for generations to come. One of the great parts of this era I think we live in, at least I've known because I'm much older than you are, is the ability to get quality, instantaneous communication and information. And just the reverse is true, I know. But we have, through the South Dakota Game Fish and Parks Department, a website that may I impose on you to think about putting on as a link.
Sure.
For your listeners, for us. And it's spearfishcanyon.sd.gov, spearfishcanyon.sd.gov. And our listeners today, if they're interested, go to that, because it really also provides what's so great for public servants anymore is the ability to not only see what this whole thing is about, if you've never heard about it, the master planning process, the input, maps, public involvement, progress, stay connected, get updated, but you can follow and fully understand and then specifically submit comments and really have a participative democracy in this area. So I think that that's really number one, because it's a long process. The citizens are very, very supportive of, exchanging federal land for state ownership. I was involved in that with Governor Janklow for our lands relative to our park system before around the core and Missouri River and my home in Yankton. It was a big, big deal. And so the specifics of that and working with our congressional delegation, we're grateful for their support in facilitating that. But there are a number of public informational meetings that are coming up, opportunity for everybody to go to that. There's also, in a little while, and it'll be posted on the website, a volunteer advisory committee for, so, and we'll be soliciting applications from people to serve on that committee, and that will be, again, posted, and it'll be meeting throughout this master planning process. So the real global thing is, let's do some planning, let's try to figure out with people who are volunteers from that area to sit there, probably about 20 people, a big cross-section of groups and people, and, you know, put it together and get inputs that way, as well as public focus groups and presentations to the neighbors and all those other opportunities. So it's like everything else, and like Good Earth State Park was, just, you know, half an hour north of where you're sitting right now.
Right.
That was part of that same whole process. And so those who are for, those who are against, or those who need more education to come up with their opinions, it is more available, you know, through that website. So hopefully that was responsive.
Yes, absolutely, and lots of different ways. So some of those conversations are really just beginning. And you mentioned, you know, preservation for generations to come. And one of the things I'm wondering, because I don't quite understand all the nuances of this yet, I'm still getting educated as well. Is it federal land now that's already protected, or are we talking about protecting land that's not protected under the Black Hills National Forest? Is it something different?
Sort of like a map, where if you look at the map of the county that you're sitting in county, Yankton, that Lori owns a piece of land that she's not using, but Matt would like it, and Matt owns a piece of property that's closer to Lori's farm, and so you do a swap.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't say that the best, but we have state land that would be helpful, as well as the feds have land that would sort of build out this and protect this area. But the vast majority of it is bringing this federal land into us so that the state can own it, and it's not necessarily part of the Park Service, as I understand it.
Okay. So one of the things Representative Kristi Noem alluded to is that she felt the state would take better care of the land than necessarily the federal government would. We got some phone calls on that and people saying that the Black Hills National Forest has been well cared for. Is that just a difference of opinion, or what have you seen over your years of service in South Dakota as far as how Black Hills Forest National land has been cared for and used by the public and by the feds?
You know, I am far from an expert on that. I will tell you the experience from, you know, going out there, and for these 6 years the governor and I have been involved, we've had a very, very good working relationship with the people there. And especially when we're dealing with fire issues, they have a lot more federal constraints than we have from the state. I believe Kristi was probably targeting the fact that in our core land issues that we've had with the Corps, that it was very, very poor management, and they didn't meet their obligations at that time many years ago. And we do have certain issues through our state and people talking about federal management of that. But on an individual basis, this is really more about creating a contiguous area that can be protected for people to enjoy regardless of their abilities. And I think that we're seeing, you know, the big attack that we have in our state on the pine beetle out there. You know, it's a little more difficult in the federal forest to deal with that, but we've got cooperative efforts with them within our park system. I would take a sidetrack here and say we do have amazing people in game, fish, and parks. And that whole department is run on user fees. There isn't a nickel of my sales tax when I got my pop this morning that goes to that. it is by people who fish, who use the resources, go out there and ride the snowmobiles. Matt loves going to his lake when he's back home in Yankton. But these things are available to everybody, regardless of your wealth. And my mom would bring us over as a single parent from Vermilion so we could jump in the lake. And it cost us that same little tab. And we didn't have a boat. We didn't have, but we were allowed to use this natural resource because people thought of us before we were born. And I think that that sort of coordination, local focus, and dedication to the people and being sensitive to the people who live and who have lived in spearfish and dealing with the local folks in Spearfish Canyon, I think that this is going to be really a gem.
So earlier in our conversation, I accidentally called you Governor Matt Michaels. We've talked about U.S. Representative Kristi Noem, and you know I can't let you go without asking about your political future as well as we look at the penultimate term of Governor Dennis Dugard. What are your thoughts there? What do you want to let us know you're thinking about for the future, sir?
Well, first of all, actually, I didn't think it was a mistake because we're both in the military. And so, like, and this surprised me. I have to say, this surprised me, too, when I first went to meetings, that it's sort of like some people who are lieutenant colonel, you call them colonel.
Right, yeah. So I came by it honestly.
So actually, I'm humbled when people say that. I think the title I enjoy the most is husband and dad and friend. Those titles mean a lot more, but we've been doing this for about 14 years, my wife and I, and we're in the throes of trying to make that decision. Quite honestly, because that's the way I am, these decisions have been much more clear when Dennis and I, we've been friends for a long time, and I'll use his first name that way because that's how we've known each other, and he and I talked early on when he was running and how far in advance that he had to run. I was anticipating putting in a bid myself, and I just couldn't start that far in advance. And I kind of feel that way now, but the time is ticking. I can't give you an answer now, but I will at the end of session because I don't want it to cloud the session. Mm-hmm. And because we've known each other, I'm fairly blunt, but I'm really conflicted. And especially with Mark withdrawing, I've had been so humbled by people saying, please run. But I was in New York City all this week and got in late last night because we were meeting with the rating agencies. Those are bond rating agencies that look at how well our states are run. And we had so many goals, the governor and I, and we're ticking them off. And one of them I couldn't be more proud of is how well this state is run by so many people working on it. We're one of only 12 states in the nation that have AAA status, only one of 12, only one of three retirement systems that are actually fully funded. And I take a lot of satisfaction in those things, and I'm not sure I want to take the time away to campaign. That sounds sort of strange, but as you could tell in my voice, I'm very conflicted, but I'm grateful that you asked.
We thank you for your openness there as well. So, Lieutenant Governor Matt Michaels, I'm going to let you go. We appreciate your time. We're going to have some music here in just a minute. So thank you very much, sir.
Happy New Year to you, and thank you for helping me be in the moment.
Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We are live from our studios at the University of Sioux Falls. Today, that was Burlap Wolf King. Thomas Henches is in the studio with us now. He's a singer-songwriter. You can hear him on No Cover, No Minimum Radio this weekend from a performance at the Icon Lounge. Tune in to SDPB Radio Saturday, 9 Central, 8 Mountain, Sunday, 11 Central, 10 Mountain. Thomas Henches has played metal. He's played Christian, rock, Americana. He's got an upcoming LP we'll talk about called Bitter Honey. But first, welcome to the studio, Thomas / Burlap Wolfgang.
Yes, glad to be here.
And we better start with Lieutenant Governor's question because he wants to know where Burlap Wolfgang comes from.
Certainly. You know, it's a question that gets asked often. Really, it's just a combination of two nicknames, Burlap and kind of a joking nickname on a inebriated evening, I will say, of Wolfgang. And I just put the two together because I thought it was... It just presents nice imagery, kind of fits the music.
It works, definitely. Yes. Works. So playing in Kimball this weekend, too?
Next weekend.
Kimball, okay,
yep,
Kimball.
40, yep.
Across the state. Give us an idea of different things throughout your career. You've had the Christian rock sort of thing. You've had more of a rock sound. You've had an Americana sound. I saw you on Facebook playing with Jeff Paul and Jim Spears, mm-hmm. and a saxophonist whom I love, and I've now absolutely just blanked his name. Help me out.
Joel Shotwell.
Joel Shotwell. So are there different defining moments in your career as you sort of go from genre to genre and explore that way?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I grew up in a... in Madison, South Dakota, pre-internet, really. So everything we got, was just based off of experience. And I mean, I used to scour libraries and things like that where kids now are all in the internet and so on. So I learned a lot about music that way. But the first thing I did to get involved in music is come here to Sioux Falls and go to punk shows and so on. So early on, I was into more aggressive music as a way of expression and kind of... almost a backlash against that kind of upbringing in more of a rural community. But at some point you just kind of almost embrace that's more of who you are than what you're trying to rebel against. So, I think the music that I've been making over the last handful of years is a lot more representative of me as a person than in the earlier days, certainly theologically speaking too. Now, I think what I'm able to do now is that I finally have a group of musicians around me who have been able to kind of get the ideas in my head and kind of see those into fruition because they kind of understand where I'm coming from, and having the ability to work with some of these other musicians, like you mentioned earlier, some of the finest musicians we have in our state. I just see that as a real, I'm very grateful for that opportunity. And I also take it as kind of an acknowledgement of heading in the right direction.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and have a song. I want to make sure that we get to some music so people can hear
it.
It's just you here with the guitar. We'll talk about the band here in a minute. Set it up for us. Tell us what you're going to play.
Sure. This is off of the new record we just finished recording the other night. The song's called Yellow Belly Body Blues. Dance the dance of the broken-hearted, pirouette before the evening started. Expel your myth on every ear that sits behind their empty beer. Find yourself no stranger to those who travel wild like wolves in sheep's clothes, draped in silk, bound by wire, full of fruit and fig and fire. And I long to be the face that you will see every night as you struggle finding sleep. Your darkest hour illuminates your vacancy. No sympathy. Took a bite from the hand that fed you. Now lie awake and ponder all we've been through. Fold like folly, absent truth. Robert Ford and John Wilkes Booth. Drop the orange pill and remove your glasses. Protest a prayer before the twilight passes. Embellished eyes over old loose lips. Parallel to prehistoric hips. And I long to be the face that you will see every night as you struggle finding sleep. Your darkest hour illuminates your vacancy. Oh, no sympathy. Yellow belly body blues.
We're here live in the studio with Burlap Wolf King Thomas. That is some serious songwriting right there.
Thank you.
Lyrically, I'm sort of blown away right now, I haven't heard that one yet. So let's talk about writing. I think that's where we need. Amazing performance, amazing vocals, but the writing just sticks with you as well. So what do you see yourself as, a singer or more of a songwriter?
Yeah, people often refer to me as being a musician, and I've always considered myself a songwriter before a musician. It's like Kris Kristofferson's not much of a guitar player, but he can write a song. And that's kind of where I see myself, is trying to, I've always concentrated more on writing songs and trying to be that than trying to be Jimi Hendrix or something like that, you know. I surround myself with people who are more concerned with that. So, over the years, even when I was doing metal, I mean, I was just a vocalist, so I was screaming. So a lot of the lyrics I had were unlegible unless you read them. But that's always been the focus for me, is like, you know, melodies are great, words are great, but what separates the men from the boys is the message. So I really try hard, and that's probably what explains why it takes me so long between records or outputs of materials, because I take the lyrical content more seriously than anybody that I work with, at least. So
who are you trying to please? Who do you need to please at the end of a song to say that's good enough?
Yeah, absolutely myself. You know, I mean, I'm the one that has to sit and perform these batches of songs with lyrical content that has to be strong enough that I feel that I can continue to do it night after night without feeling phony.
Yeah. So for me as a listener, mm-hmm. I was listening to that and want to hear it again, because I want to hear those lyrics again and really process them as a listener. I'm enjoying the performance, but then I'm also like, I need to come back to this.
Yeah.
What makes it satisfactory to you as a songwriter? When do you smile and say, yeah, I got that one?
Yeah, you know, a lot of people have different methods, and mine, I do edit my material. So like I'll come up with something and gradually make small edits. So, a song, sometimes you might even change the verses around, like, oh, that verse actually sounds better in the front instead of the back, you know. The particular song that I just sang, a little bit of an angrier lyric than I'm used to, I finished that one last winter, during, you know, these cold winters here in South Dakota, we find ourselves in phases, and when it gets cold, I generally gravitate towards more hip-hop music. So I think that kind of, you know, that anger, that punch, that aggressiveness that I was getting from that music comes out in the lyric of this last tune as well.
All right, let's do another one.
Sure, absolutely. We'll play a little shorter one here. This one is one I'm lyrically fairly proud of as well. This one's called The Gray in My Beard, which there's a little bit in here today. Midday joggers in heat, they're racing the summer swell, and all making plans for New Year's Eve that they'll all forget by the morning. And early bedtime Friday nights, in the gray in my beard, while nocturnal creatures flood these streets and then feast on fear in the morning. But the calm comes from within, away the serpent's skin. Put sword and shield away. Those that try will make mistakes. Milk the marrow of today. And on the trail I caught a black sheep's head. He was bobbing near the river's edge. He cried bloody murder as he wet the bed. And it was 9:30 in the morning. From Palestine to Birmingham, North Korea to Vietnam, star-bellied sneeches, green eggs and ham, we'll all be fine by the morning. We'll all be fine by the morning.
You're in the moment. My guest, a burlap wolf king, Thomas Henches. This is the part where I lose myself and I say, I love you. And then everybody makes fun of me for the rest of the day. You can hear him on No Cover, No Minimum. It's a show from the Icon Lounge, No Cover, No Minimum Radio, Saturday at 9 on SDPB Radio, 9 Central, and then 11 p.m. Central on Sunday. What can you tell us about that show?
Sure. That was our third performance with this new band, and we... were recorded by our good friend Andrew Reinertz. He did a great job. It was a great show. We had some friends from Minneapolis come down to open the show. But we debuted this new lineup of the band at Jazz Fest last summer on the second stage, and played one other show after that, and then played this show in September, and then nobody's seen us since. So that's planned. Hopefully nobody in Sioux Falls at least will see us until May when the album comes out. So.
And that's LP Bitter Honey, right?
Yes.
Where will I be able to get that?
Absolutely. You'll be able to get that at Crosstown Vinyl, Total Drag Records, all the record stores, Black Hills Vinyl, all that kind of stuff. But also on our website for Different Folk Records, differentfolkrecords.com.
Tell us about Different Folk Records and how that sort of fledgling label is coming along right now.
Sure, yeah. We're just over a year old now and have released several full lengths and 7-inch releases on vinyl format. And we're even starting to outstretch a little bit to our original goal was to work not only with regional national artists, but concentrate on local artists as well and do what's responsible to help them. So we're also finding ourselves working even with people locally on helping fund their CD pressings and so on. Groups like the Jazz Quintet, they will be releasing a record early this year yet, and we... have helped by putting forth a little bit of financial help and getting that product out there.
Yeah.
So
it's a JAS Quintet's Ellington.
Indeed.
Correct? Indeed.
Indeed,
all right.
Yes.
Will you play for us one more time?
Absolutely. Let's see.
What's this one?
I'm trying to remember what the last one I was going to play.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I had a request. It's hard for me to deny Lieutenant Governor of his request.
So. All right.
Here's a song. This is a bit of an old one. This one's called August Rain. Is it wrong to look on all the wasted days? Take the time to learn from my mistakes. Oh, along the way, I get older and my time gets shorter and I is it wrong to look on all the wasted days? Try to shed the fat and to shed the weight. Oh, like an August rain, I get older and my time gets shorter and I thank you.
Is it wrong to look on all the wasted days and count each one by the lines across your face that now seem natural as your name? I get older and my time gets shorter, and I
thank you for that.
Thank you.
I'm going to agree. That's that's well worth it. I'm sort of in awe. It's a pleasure to sit with something so authentic and real. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart for that. Let's talk a little bit about Neil Young, because we came in the segment with Revolution Blues and you closed Jazz Fest with that. Is that becoming kind of a signature cover for Burlap Wolfgang, the band?
Yeah, it's fun to play. It's a great track. It's off of an amazing album by Neil called On the Beach. It was kind of in his depressed middle 70s period after the death of Danny Witt. And the song is actually pretty much about Charles Manson when it gets down to it, if you listen to it closely enough. The studio track has the band's rhythm section playing with Neil as a trio. It's just Neil with Levon Helm on drums and Rick Danko on bass, and it's just powerful, and everybody in the band just kind of responded to the song. We love playing it, and it really showcases both Adam Jones on lead guitar and Alex Olson on the keys.
You can tune in this weekend, No Cover, No Minimum Radio, to hear Burlap Wolfgang. It's a performance from the Icon Lounge. You have that Saturday at 9 Central, 8 Mountain, Sunday at 11 Central PM. Those are 10 Mountain. We're going to have Burlap Wolfgang play us out here, and we'll see you all on Monday. Tech Radio is coming up after a quick break and some news. So thank you again for being with us, and thanks everyone for listening.
And thank you guys here. Always appreciate the support I receive here from South Dakota Public Broadcasting.